Welcome, one and all. We are back. The Chicks Talking Footy team are back. And I am your host for this evening, Fiona. I've never called myself that before.
What do you call yourself then?
Oh, it's always Fee, isn't it? Unless I'm in trouble. And this week, Moddy, who you've just heard from, will be joining me in the studio. We are exactly 1.5 metres apart, not because of COVID, but because of Moddy's hygiene issues.
And also that restraining order is still in place.
who gets a restraining order for 1.5 metres? And we've also got Beck Dahl buzzed in. She's been all the way over in Adelaide not keeping very good control of her team, apparently. Welcome, Beck. Beck, we can't hear you.
Well, hang on a sec, Beck. We'll just keep fiddling around with the buttons here while we try and get you on air.
Are you?
Oh, there you are.
There she is.
There you are.
Thank goodness.
mainly what that was Fee thinking, nah, me and Motty will just do it alone. So she just sort of accidentally pretending.
Good try, guys.
You've been stood down, Beck. You've been stood down. But how's life over there in Adelaide, Beck?
Well, I said a couple of weeks ago when we did our radiothon show, I came over here to keep an eye on the Crows. I did not do a good job of that.
I know, you did keep bumping into them, you know, at the beach.
I did. I walked down my local beach. I've seen Anne Hatchard and Ebony Marinoff from the AFLW and David McKay from the Crows. Yesterday I saw Chris Massey, who used to play for the Crows. I did not, however, keep an eye on the ones that should have been in isolation.
Yeah, those 16 players over in the Barossa, they slipped through your fingers.
Yep, sorry, guys.
But, hey, do you think that they threw... Oh, look, we can talk about this later, about Adelaide's issues.
We have a bit of... We've reserved some space in the show for Adelaide. speaking of which, on tonight's show, we're, of course, going to be catching up on all the footy news. Believe it or not, nothing's been happening, but everything's been happening.
It has, indeed.
We'll give you an update on that. We managed to get in contact with Phil Davis from the GWS Giants. Beck's been listening to his podcast all COVID. And
I have.
He's made his own podcast. But we're going to talk to him about all sorts of things that are going on, what's going to come up with the season, how the players are feeling. We've also got our regular segment, The Dinner Table, where we invite you to sit around the family dinner table and chew the fat over some of the issues that are going on. And we're going to give away some awards tonight. Best and worst of ISO.
This is where Adelaide's discussion of Adelaide Football Club will come in.
Yeah, might get slotted in there. We're going to, you know, some people done it well, some players not so well. And we're going to be giving awards out in both of those categories. So, first of all, Chicks, what did you miss? Footy not being on, and what are you looking forward to?
I missed sort of, it's not ceremony, it's not the right term, but I like going, I watch footy with my dad and we have party pies and Pinot Noir, or I go to the game, all those sort of little ceremonies around the game. I really missed all of that, but I got into the swing of no footy pretty quick. I had all this time on my hands.
Yeah, I think at the start I had that feeling of, oh, I don't have to have FOMO about anything, I can just do nothing. I can
clean the cupboards. Because you are a shocker for FOMO.
Shocker for FOMO. It's like, oh, why wasn't I invited to that party that I don't know anyone at?
And I don't like the people anyway.
And, you know, just work being cancelled and everything being quite relaxing. But I think now that footy's back on, I'm excited.
Beck, what about you?
Well, I missed having something to watch on TV, you know, like Friday through Sunday. Like, there's not much on. And the other thing I think I missed was having my mood dictated for me for the week. So, you know, like if the Crows play on a Friday night, if they win, great weekend. If they lose, whole week's ruined.
Yeah.
I'm spewing in the first week, the first 2 weeks, in fact. You may not be aware, Fee and Beck, but I barrack for Essendon.
Really?
Oh,
yes,
right.
I do. And both games on Sunday and I work on Sundays.
Oh, no.
I'm just so annoyed.
Yeah. Rude. Our games are the Hawks Geelong games on a Friday night. It's normally the Easter Sunday match. And lucky, because it's playing at the Cattery and we don't know how to get there, so...
We'll
talk about whether home ground is actually an advantage too. We'll flag that for later in the show.
So what? And so then, therefore, the things we missed, must be the things that we are looking forward to coming back, although half of them we can't do. We can't do the walk to the G, or we can't, you know.
Although I was thinking about how to cheer for your club. You know, it's going to be weird them not having supporters. And we've all, the Hawks Pride group, we're all going to take a photo of ourselves in our Pride beanies watching the game and send it to, and do a photo collage and send it to the club.
They'll probably do that. Well, actually, most, I reckon the clubs will do that. Show us what you...
Yeah, show us your support.
Yeah.
I saw on the news yesterday, one of the soccer leagues in Germany, I think it was, they set up massive screens around the oval and they filmed into people's houses. So the people are on their couch in their scarves and stuff, and the players could see that.
Yeah, I saw that as well. That's great. Possibly better than the paper cutout idea. But.
I like the paper cutout idea just for wallpaper, really, is what it is for both. I like the Bulldogs have done doing it behind the goals, which I think is really good, and so they'll probably play some music or whatever then as well, which I think is great.
Yeah, I think that's. I think that'll be nice. They'll have a bit of a crowd cheer squad. But this week there was also special Hall of Fame inductees. There was John O'Brown, he's been inducted.
And Simon Black and Lenny Hayes. Just quickly, which one of those would be the most important to any team in 2020?
Ooh.
I'm going to say say John O'Brown.
Yeah, I say John O'Brown too.
Because, you know, Simon Black and Lenny Hayes, as good and as tough as they are, midfielders are a dime a dozen now, but really power forwards aren't hard to find.
Mm.
That's true, but Lenny Hayes has that spiritual leader factor, you know, that you can't go past.
Well, in fact, Brownie did too, but, you know, Brownie's moved on. He's on Nova now. He's showed his arsehole now, so.
Well, the other special inductee, of course, was John Kennedy. He's really the spiritual father of the Hawthorn Football Club. He took us from being a pretty poor team to winning grand finals. He's famous for his don't think, do speech. And they put together a little video for him that I thought would be nice to play for you all tonight.
The crowning moment of this year's Australian Football Hall of Fame, the elevation of one of the game's true greats to legend status. It is the most revered honour in our game and reserved only for the icons. And this gentleman personifies the word legend. His statue graces Waverley Park to watch over his beloved Hawks. He is one of football's true father figures. And as a proud grandfather, famously barracked for his Hawks to beat his grandson in a grand final. All footy fans, no matter how old or young, knows his famous catch cry, don't think, do.
As a kid, I just wanted to play football, you know. But the best thing you take out of football is the people you meet, the friends you make.
My friends say that they saw me play and it wasn't a pretty sight. That's about the best description I could give.
And Hawthorn are premiers for the year 1961.
And at least do something! Do! Don't think, Mick! Don't hope! Do! At least you can come off and say, I did this! Or I shivered it! Or I played on! At least I did something for the sake of the side. Do! Act! Don't think, act! Eye on the ball!
I'm game enough to tell you to do it. Are you game enough to back me up?
How do you come up with a different speech that they haven't heard before?
Well, you got to think of a thousand different ways of saying the same thing.
Fight it out hard, every bloke. Run until you drop. The psychological limit is a lot closer than the physical limit. Remember, when you're tired and you think you can't go any further, you can. Do it and see how you go.
A boy about 11 or 12 came up to me and he said, excuse me, would you say do something? I said, do something, and he just stood there. And eventually, I thought, he's not going to go. And I said, well, do something, I called out. And his face lit up, and he smiled, and he doubled over, went straight over to his parents and grandparents over there. So I thought, oh, well, he was sent over for that.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. Beck Dahl is crossed over all the way from Adelaide. We've fed her into the show. Beck, would you like to introduce the next guest?
I would love to, Fee. Our next guest is one of the superstars of the GWS. He's a host of the new ABC podcast, Phil Davis podcast, and it's his second time with us, so he is officially a friend of the show. Phil Davis, welcome to Chicks Talking Footy.
Hi, girls. Thank you very much for having me.
A pleasure. Now, Phil, on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you that footy is 8 sleeps away?
Yeah, it's definitely exciting. Yeah, it's obviously been an interesting period, especially over the last sort of 2 to 3 months for everyone in Australia, let alone just footballers. But, you know, there's no doubt we're hitting the 10 on that scale in terms of excitement, and you can see it not only within the four walls of the Giants, but all across the competition, even as fans and everyone alike.
Now, Phil, there's obviously been some challenges about not playing for 10 weeks, but have there been any things you've enjoyed or any little silver linings for you?
Yeah, I think I'm like a lot of people that have enjoyed some elements of what's happened the last 10 weeks. It's definitely given me time to restock, hit the reset button after, a tough pre-season. But also it's a bit different because, in the off-season between things, you got to make sure you stay fit and are prepared for time trials, all these things. There's a specific date that you have to be fit and firing for. And then in-season, there's pressures of games and individual performance, team performance, external feedback, internal feedback. And I guess for me, during that 8-10-week period, it was a real release from all those stresses and pressures. I just knew what I needed to do from a fitness point of view, and I just was able to really focus in on that, which was really refreshing. I must admit, it was a real mental release, and obviously, it couldn't get too wound up because the ambiguity about when we were going to get back, etc., meant that it would have been a fool to try to predict when we'd get back.
Well, yeah, it's funny, Phil, when you talk about that getting ready, because I got told by the girls I had to stop starting sentences with Phil Davis said on his podcast, because that's where I get all my information from at the moment. But you talked about that being game ready and how, you can't just constantly be game ready, and you had to sort of know when you were coming back.
Yeah, the element of tapering is huge, and I think I know what I need to do to be at that peak condition, and I think there's an element of timing your run. And, you can definitely stay very close to match ready, but to dip into that last phase of being 100% ready, which is what we're doing right now and have been for a couple of weeks, can't be done for, 52 weeks straight. It takes a huge amount of physical and mental toll, and it's something that, you have to be prepared, and we're lucky that our strength and conditioning and coaching department have done a great job in planning that, because our program kept us super fit, and now we've really just been able to put the icing on the cake to prepare for North Melbourne and teams after that.
Yeah, Phil, it's Fee here. You're one of the vice presidents of the AFLPA, and you've been very involved in the negotiations between the players and the AFLPA about all sorts of issues coming out of the competition shutdown. What's your experience been like with that, working through all of that?
Yeah, Fee, it's a great question, and it's something that's been, for me particularly, it's been great for my development from an off-field point of view. There's been a lot of high-end discussions that I've been a part of, and, lots of listening and trying to learn, and also make sure that I can represent as many of the players as I can and get a really widespread view and push those into those meetings so that everyone is heard and taken into account when decisions are made. And I guess from my point of view, it just shows the many layers and different stakeholders that comes with the AFL industry, which to me is really important to learn. I think it's great for my development, but also it's great to have some information to be able to recall back to your players and hopefully put them at ease in a time that had so much unrest.
Mm. I read or heard the other day, there's 5,000 people that have currently stood down, across AFL, across all the clubs. Where do you see, some of these changes heading in the future in terms of player payments, list sizes, season length? Is there going to be massive changes there, do you think?
It's definitely a fascinating space, and I guess you know, one of the most important things is information. Information is king in all these situations, to make sure that you've got all the information required to make good decisions. And I think, you know, at the moment we're still trying to gather, you know, especially about, you know, in terms of what this season looks like. You know, will there be some crowds at the end of the year? Maybe, maybe not. You know, what will sponsorship, memberships, all those things look like for this year? And also going forward, what's the impact there? Because, you know, as much information as we can get as possible, we can make the best decisions. And then, you know, also add on top of that decisions around list size and length of quarters. We need, you know, sample sizes and information to make calls on that. That all takes time. But for me, I think it's a decision. These decisions around the game can't be made lightly and hastily. I think we've got to make sure we take in as much information. I know I've said that a few times, but that's the king in this situation. But we've also got to make sure what our focus is. You know, we've got to, there's an element of AFL footy where, you know, there's that great history of the game, and you've got the purists that want nothing to never change. But then also, there's an element that it's an entertainment business, and we've got to make sure we keep, you know, the game looking exciting and fascinating for people to watch and keep interested. So it's a very complex debate, but we're just going to keep on, you know, moving with the times and moving as things become more accessible.
Well, Phil, one of the issues around that that's been very at the forefront, I guess, of the news this week has been the request, I guess, that came through Paul Marsh for the AFL to open their books to, I guess, working with the negotiation of the player payments and the collective bargaining. And I read just before we came on air that Gills said that can happen. Where does that sit with you, I guess, from a player perspective in terms of what you want to see there?
Oh, I think one thing about the Players Association, they do an incredible job. Well, they're put in charge of looking after well over 800 players across the AFL and AFLW competition. And they're trying to act in the best interest of the whole entire player project. And for them to make the best decisions, they need the clearest information. We have full faith in their ability to do so. And part of that is to make sure that they can address, you know, all aspects, because there's nothing worse than trying to have a discussion or a negotiation and don't have all the cards on the table to work out exactly which levers are pulled, do what's doable, what's not doable, etc. And I think, you know, on the other hand, we're going to be completely transparent with the AFL as well in terms of, you know, from our side, what's happening, because that's the only way we have negotiations that can be fruitful for both parties. And from my point of view, I've got full faith in the Players Association and understand that, you know, they're professionals in what they do, and that's the area of expertise, and, you know, that's the information that they require.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've had one experience of playing a game without a crowd there, and you're going to have another few in the next coming weeks or months, who knows. Did it impact the game from a player's perspective, having no one there?
Oh, it was no doubt different. I think, you know, it reminded me a little bit of when I was playing under-17s at North Adelaide and no one was watching except the family, and I didn't have family this time. But I guess, you know, it's something that's different. You know, there's no doubt that sometimes, depending on where you play, you know, your MAP, or used to be called the NAB Cup or the JLT Series, you know, sometimes you have small crowds there. It was almost a combination of, you know, those kind of matches plus training. And a little bit of a mixture of that, when you probably just don't get that external stimulus that you can get from crowds, you know, that atmosphere that really gives you a good jolt. And one thing I did notice, which we'll find out going forward, was the game was played at, you know, the skill level was much higher and the execution of goal was much higher. That is directly proportional to no crowd and no external pressure. But we'll wait and see. But there's no doubt it comes back to more intrinsic motivation, is that you can't really rely on the crowds to G you up and really make you push that a little bit harder.
Yeah, well, that's true. Now, Phil, last time we spoke to you, you gave us a really important life lesson. Now, I'm not sure if you remember this, but we had a very in-depth conversation about the man bun. And you gave us some advice, which was, don't overthink it, don't overdo it, just set and forget. Now, we as a group of women have never forgotten that. we really took a lot from that advice. I just wanted to check whether a man bun or your styling tips have been affected by the lockdown at all, or you're still operating on that set and forget sort of routine.
If anything, I must admit that it's really set that in stone even more. not being able to get a haircut for a while caused issues, but in the end it's turned into a positive that I've just been able to set and forget, as you said. And, you know, for one thing for me, I've just got to make sure that I'm just really aware of those dreadlocks. And outside of that, you can really just let it go and just let it do its thing, because for me, I find the longer it gets, the easier it buns up, which makes it easier to train and live my life.
You don't have to do bobby pins or muck around with any of that stuff.
Just set and forget.
Yeah, bobby pins are something that I haven't quite mastered or will master, I think.
just a suggestion. Now, Phil, we should ask you about football probably while you're here. You mentioned earlier you do take on North Melbourne this week. Do you remember who they are or who's in your team or how to play? Like, are you...
I must admit, yeah, we've been training in eighths quite a bit, so sometimes it's about, you know, making sure I reintroduce myself to my other 35 teammates that I see, and then, you know, when we get to the main group, just remembering all their names. But so in all seriousness, it's been a little bit different. Like, you know, as I said to you, I was just so removed from that football mindset and world during that lockdown. You know, it obviously comes back quite quickly, but you sort of forget bits and pieces. And, you know, for example, North Melbourne, like, you know, you're just so across and so ingrained into knowing everything about them, and you just haven't thought about them in any capacity, because usually I might watch them every second or third week on TV and get a gauge. Just hasn't been possible. So there's no doubt there'll be a little bit of making sure I'm all across North Melbourne and all the other teams as soon as it comes back, because it still felt like a long time between drinks when I'd be able to look at other football clubs.
Now, Phil, you've launched your own podcast in ISO, so kept busy.
Yep.
In lots of other ways around football. We've been curious about how you came up with a name for it.
Yeah, obviously, it was spent all the money on a consulting firm to come up and sat in the water for hours, and the
branding experts,
like philosophy, and names like this are all banned around. Obviously, filling the gaps, all these kind of puns were there, and then they just went bang and got the Phil Davis podcast. Obviously, very exciting and rare and out of the box, but it worked its way there.
Look, it's a name no one's going to steal. So
I hope there's, not. There's some positives. Anyway, so I've got a bit of a gap on anyone.
You could actually say your parents named it in a way.
Yeah, I will. I'll make sure that they cop the blame for that one as well.
Yeah. Now, before we let you go, who at GWS has made you laugh during the last couple of months? Who's your biggest joker at the club?
Yeah, well, we've had a couple of Zoom calls a week. Usually Shane Mumford has always been historically the biggest pest and, the loudest, but technology doesn't seem to be his strength, plus having two kids obviously must have distracted him during the calls. But a young player by the name of Xavier O'Halloran has been a pretty consistent contributor to the humour that has been delivered across the group, and, he's definitely proved his worth technologically with his humour.
Well, you need that. You need a laugh. Thanks so much for joining us tonight, Phil. We really appreciate it. Good luck for the rest of the season. We hope there's many months of it to come, and we look forward to chatting to you again about, hair, footy and life.
Thanks for having me.
No worries. See
thanks,
ya.
Phil.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars.
Oh, it's Chicks Talking Footy, dinner table time.
I am such a fan of that song.
You are, Moddy.
I know, with Julie London. I mean, every week, instead of watching Essendon, just been playing that on loop and just dancing about myself.
You've been dancing with Claire in the living room.
Yep, we sure have.
the dinner.
How lovely is Phil Davis?
I know. He's just so generous with his, with his time and with what he shares with us. I love it.
Think that inside of the, I found the inside of the AFL Players Association really interesting too. Just, having been right in those negotiations. I think he's got a really interesting perspective on all of that too.
Yes, indeed. So it is our dinner table chat, which means you know how you sit around with your family and you talk about footy.
Well, actually, we don't in the last 2.5 months.
We haven't.
Actually, I have been more than I have in my whole life.
Beck has done it every night for 2.5 months.
All right.
But you know, you talk around the football issues. You nut it all out. Well, that's what we like to do with you every week. Is get you around the dinner table and talk about the issues. So,
and inevitably, family or friends have different opinions.
No, they do.
And that's what we encourage at the CTF dinner table as well.
There's nothing like a difference of opinions at the dinner table. So I thought I'd serve up entree and main together because it's a big one. It's a big one.
You go for it.
So this week, as many of you know, has been Reconciliation Week, which when you think about what's happening in the world and what's even happening locally with some of our Indigenous communities, it's really interesting timing. It's also Pride Month at the moment, and Pride Month is celebrating the Stonewall riots, which is a big part of the story of our community as well. Which was started by a couple of black transgender people. So I kind of thought it was interesting because there's been a lot of players, AFL players, that have, you know, started to talk about that. Chad Wingard, we put that on our Facebook. He took a real stand on the socials about social media. Sabrina Frederick from Richmond AFLW, she did a post, but I'll read you about the first little bit that she said. She said, over the last few days, I've really struggled. And to be honest, it brought up a lot from my childhood. She's referring to the riots in America. And always feeling like the one who is different, like there was something wrong with me because of the colour of my skin. The topic going on in the world right now needs to be taken seriously. She writes quite three or four more paragraphs. So you can check out her Instagram because what she has to say about it really kind of articulates the heart of racism and how it affects a lot of people, particularly a lot of people playing our game.
And she finished it by saying, remember, we are never born racist and that we as all humans deserve to be equal and deserve better. And I think that's the key, isn't it? There's been, not to be flip about it, but there's been a number of photos sort of going around on socials of little kids. So little kids of all different races and colours just hugging.
Yeah.
Like they don't know about race and colour at that age.
No awareness of it at all.
No, none at all. So it's clearly a taught thing, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, Reconciliation Week, I think the Indigenous round would have been not last weekend, the weekend before. So, but there was a lot of celebration that went on online, and there's now a new show on NITV. They've partnered with the AFL, so you can watch the show weekly on the afl.com.au website.
Or on NITV.
Or on NITV, so they've sort of partnered together. The footy show is called Yokai, and it was phonetically pronounced for me from Moddy, which is lucky because I'm not good with names, but it's a Noongar word for victory. It's a victory cry. And the hosts are Bianca Hunt, Tony Armstrong and Daryl White. There's players featured through it. I'll play it for you in a moment, but it's Paddy Ryder, Eddie Betts, Shane Edwards, Nathan Jones, Rory Sloan, Dan Rioli, Isaac Smith, Trent Cotchin and Nate Fife. They all have something to say. I'll just play that for you now.
Some of the past players and what they had to come up against back when they were younger.
The execution sensational from the ruckman.
As a community and as a football club, we have a voice and we have a platform where we can, you know, talk about it and make change.
The buzz around the game generates a lot of education and opportunities for conversations that wouldn't have happened otherwise. It's educating everyone and opening up more conversations to learn more about their Indigenous teammates or heroes, and also for Indigenous players to learn more about themselves and other Indigenous players.
Yeah, it's been pretty epic to sort of experience and understand their culture and where they've come from and how different their stories are, but how intertwined they are. I think that's a great privilege of being an AFL player, is to learn about that culture. It's a shame, I think, that we're not educated and taught more about it through school.
I love immersing myself in Indigenous culture. I love hearing guys talk about where they're from, traditions. I almost get a bit of a history lesson too, because it's something I didn't learn much as a kid.
I'm so proud to be an Aboriginal person playing AFL footy. It's something that is pretty special to me and my family and people from back home that I'm representing.
Rioli! Who else but Rioli?
They just have a natural ability to be better than the rest of us.
To the excitement machine, McLeod. Don't tell me. He's a superstar. Don't tell me.
Charismatic way of playing the game.
Franklin, little fumble. Franklin plays on. He's on his left. He bends it and he kicks it. What else would he do?
They're just special.
Solomon to pick it. Whoa, what about that? A full 360.
Quick.
This is the surge in Richmond and Rioli will go all the way.
Have amazing skills.
Takes an absolute screamer.
They make lots of special things happen on field.
Turns back, nice drop step, heads to our goal, kicks one of the goals of the year.
They tackle hard too.
Here's Dusty Martin, look at him get blown down! Anthony Tippett-Woody, sensation!
They've got this raw, instinctual ability to do things and see things that potentially us Wodgilers can't see.
Hill's on the end of it, and the Fremantle fans are on their feet! And McDonald Tippett-Woody, it's a 1-2 punch at the moment. He's just teasing them! McDonald Tippett-Woody!
Is he bits again? Keeps it alive. That's alive! He turns to the ground and he says, I'm Nettie Bits!
That video is just, it's something else. That's got me up and about. I mean, watching what those boys mean to so many different people. But I think for me with that video, it's listening to the white fellas talking about what
the Wodgilers.
Yeah, talking about what their Indigenous teammates mean to them and what it's like for them up close. What did you guys take out of it?
I mean, I think a key message was education. You know, our culture really do need to be taught more in schools, and it's important that they're getting that message across. And I love it, and not only that, but, you know, when Wodgilers use our language, that shows that it's their language too that they can share.
Yeah, for me, just watching that, just gets your blood tingling, you know, it makes you feel like you're great to be a part of it, and just to see the input from both sides of the cultures, you know, from seeing the Wodgilla boys and all nations as well that are so intrigued by every culture we have. Like, it's not just Indigenous culture, it's every nation. You know, we've got players from all over the world now playing our sport, but to see every person and player, you know, cherish our culture out there on the field, and seeing players like Cochin saying we're hard tacklers. I mean, he's one of the hardest players out in the field, and you've got Tippett-Woody that is one of the hardest tacklers. So to have these players to do what they do on the field and share their culture by what they do on the field is amazing.
Yeah, so what a wonderful new show that's...
It's been around for a couple of months now, but they've obviously had, you know, issues.
Yeah, well, new this year.
Yes, that's right. And wasn't it great to hear the hosts, you know, take on it as well?
Yeah, absolutely lovely. I highly recommend you check that out.
Exactly, because the vision is really, really good.
Mm, yeah, so you can see that on the AFL website. But... so good that our players are being celebrated like that. I think the AFLPA, who we were talking about with Phil Davis earlier, have put together a map of all the players, Indigenous players, AFLW and AFL, and which your area they're from, so which community they're connected to. It's a really lovely map, so that's on the AFLPA website as well.
Indeed. Well, that's a pretty good entree main.
Thank you.
I'm just taking it quite a different turn for dessert.
Well, dessert's a different part of the stomach.
Yeah, it ain't light and fluffy necessarily. It's about the financial health of the game.
Oh, geez.
I know, sorry, just some light chat. Because it intrigues me that how the game, and it sort of ties into the AFLPA discussions and things, because the clubs and the AFLPA this week we're talking about they want the AFL to open their books before they start to accept pay cuts and stuff. Well, they did, because which was February 18 they out came their 2019 figures, surplus of 27.9 million. And part of their announcements and different things, one was an investment of 18 million in country football that you hope still continues over the next 3 years. But Brian Cook said that they thought they were going to, this is Geelong, thought they were going to be 10 mil in the hole, and he was sort of almost excitedly saying, yeah, now we're only six mil in the hole. So if you count 18 clubs, let's say on average of 6 mil, that's a lot. That's 100 million down.
100 mil.
And that does not equal the 27.9 million surplus.
So no, I see a gap.
Yes, I see a sizable gap. So, I mean, the AFL are the bosses, really. So what are they to do?
I guess they have to borrow. I don't know. That would be my thought. I mean, I don't run the AFL, so I don't know.
But I wonder how long till, you know, they cut players.
That's going to happen. I mentioned this earlier, but you know, at the moment there's 5,000 people stood down from clubs in the AFL. That's huge. So, like, you got to, I know with my club, most of the people I know aren't there. They're not working at the moment. Until we get crowds back, and therefore the sponsors and
therefore the money. I mean,
and therefore the money. It's going to be really tough. They reckon only about four clubs can survive.
One of the things that Gil said in this article I read just before he came on air, that was in response to this request from the AFLPA, is he was saying one of the challenges he's got is, look, we can give you some information, but we can't do our projections for the next couple of years because we have no idea where this season's going, where the game's going. You know, they could play one round and it could all be over again. Someone tests positive and...
Yeah, then it's all off.
I've never thought that. I've never actually considered it being over. I mean, there was a report from one of my roving reporters that that Jake Carlisle was spotted in a coffee shop yesterday, touching the surfaces. I think I put it on our messaging thing. I said, hey, aren't they meant to be in lockdown? But you guys all said, no, that's actually when they start playing. But
that still seems strange.
That doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't make sense
to me.
One of my roving reporters told me this morning Sean Higgins was also in a coffee shop down in Hampton. So they're out and about.
Well, Scott Pendlebury was walking the kids to work.
If you've seen to school, any players in a coffee shop...
Call us.
Yes.
And we'll get down
message
there.
Message us 0427JOY949 or email onair@joy.org.au so that we can basically make them do the walk of shame.
Yeah, because it's, I mean...
The latte of shame.
How will they control... I gather when I saw Pendlebury walking along with his kids to school, I thought, well, he's a very obvious person, so they must be allowed to do it.
Yeah. But if you can get corona in 2 weeks, you can get it now.
Yeah. Mm. It's a bit strange. But look, they're being tested twice a week, and hopefully... Wouldn't you hate to be that one player?
Yeah, sure would.
All right,
just in general.
Just in general. All right, well, that was our a dinner table. We've got an award ceremony coming up after a quick message from a sponsor. And we're going to give you out the best awards, the awards for best in ISO, but also the worst in ISO, because let's face it, some players did it better than others. On Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We have devised a little award ceremony tonight and we have some nominations for best and worst players in ISO.
Sorry, I've just got the theme music.
Get ready to...
Oh, that was classy, wasn't it?
All right, so who is the best? Should we read those out first or the worst out first?
Well, I think we looked at the... Yeah, it was kind of, we started talking about it as like, who did it well, didn't we? And then, of course, we always go veering straight off into negative as well.
Yeah, because everyone's got a negative bias.
Someone's doing it badly. But let's start positive.
All right. And it's only downhill from there.
What have we got? So.
Nick
Flouston from Richmond built two townhouses.
Oh, nominated. And that was after completing his carpentry apprenticeship last year.
Bless you, Nick. Well done.
What a champion. Focused, good work ethic. Love it. Another tiger, Jack Graham.
Yep.
He's been sheep farming in Kyneburra, South Australia.
I was wondering if you were going to manage that pronunciation for you.
Did I do it?
Yeah, I was going to jump in.
Do you know, I learned something about this, just as an aside. You know, I'm very bad at pronouncing names.
Yes.
Yes.
What I read an article about it, and it, about people that are bad at pronouncing names, and what happens is we've learnt to put people's names from reading instead of hearing.
Oh.
So when you're looking at a page, you've pronounced it the right way, but it's not how it sounds when you
So does that mean you've
it.
Done a lot of reading?
Yeah, it means like I probably learnt more from reading than, or I learn more from reading than...
You're a brainiac.
Yeah, there you go. That's what they say, Moddy.
We've got another Richmond guy.
Gosh, Richmond sweepstakes.
Bruce's not even here.
I mean, but there's no surprises as to where the information about these fellas came from. Breezer has furnished us.
We
with
did that. Ask for some feedback.
I think we talked about this once before. Dylan Grimes has started a winery.
He's actually been on our show.
To him.
Yeah, so he's been stumping grapes and, you know, trimming vines and doing all that. True. I think some of them have actually quite enjoyed
the break.
The break and being somewhere else. And Paddy Cripps, I know, is back on the farm with his family in Northampton. In Western Australia.
Helping out the family.
Toby Green was with his grandparents down on the surf coast, staying there, and he was surfing.
Yeah, so I think you're right. A lot of people have enjoyed just the life slowing down a bit. But, yeah, we've had Dylan Grimes on our show. He spoke to us the week before the 2017 grand final.
We don't speak of that.
We don't speak of
it. We now, will not I'm, speak of this.
I'm looking at, on our very professional run sheet at something that I didn't write. So... Angus Brayshaw, Barbie Onions Insta account. Who wants to claim
that? Yes, Moddy. That was my nomination. So Angus Brayshaw from Melbourne has started an Instagram account called Barbie Onions, and it is about onions on the barbecue. He has posted videos, pictures, different suggestions. People sent in photos. My favourite part of it, though, is other players from other teams get involved. So... For example, Saturday night just gone, and he just put a photo up of a red wine and some onions he was cutting. and Luke Shuey from West Coast said, "What's the vino to match the onions tonight, Chef?" Which Angus replied, "That's a great question, Luke. It depends on how you cook the onions, as well as the sitting in which you are consuming your onions. I don't want to give too much away because there's a lot of info to go over in this space."
I love it.
But follow Barbie Onions. It's a great time.
That is actually getting my vote as best. So there's heaps of them. Ben Cunnington has, you know, bought some new cattle, and North Melbourne's Ben Cunnington, so he's been down on the farm tending to those. What else? Any?
Well, I think that's a lot of nominations for best.
Any hawks done anything good?
No. They did do work experience in the off-season, but that wasn't during
Didn't
ISO.
They do that in year 10?
They did.
Yeah.
Moddy. There was also some nominations for best, for worst. So there was some definite people that this is going to be hard to choose from, because there were some doozies.
There were, and I accidentally deleted some of them in the run sheet. A bit rusty, so hopefully your memory is serving you fee and you can remember which ones I deleted.
I can remember. But, well, there was Lockie Hunter. He came out early off the blocks.
Oh dear! What?
And drink drove, smashed four cars, fled the scene, picked up another player, went to another player's house.
Oh, yeah, it's just not
just
great.
Like spectacular. Like this guy's not coping with ISO.
As you said, it was early on, purported to be a argument with a girlfriend or something. Who knows? But still,
yeah,
whoa,
not,
Lockie.
Yeah,
not great.
It's going to be hard to contend with. For the worst, Jordan DeGoey, he got busted drink driving whilst licence has been suspended.
Yeah, okay.
He does that.
That
anyway.
Was actually a long time ago that he did that. It's only just come out now.
So when was it?
It was, I think, middle of last year.
Ah.
So on a technicality, he may not be in.
Well, then I blame Collingwood. I'm putting them in there for keeping that secret.
Exactly.
Yes. There was also Joel Salwood. So he did a TikTok of him and his wife. He basically turned his wife upside down, had a bucket of water and dipped her hair in it as if it was a mop. and then proceeded to mop the floor with her hair.
Mm.
I mean, that's what?
Why?
What is going on?
Well, there was a bit of a, you know, storm, mini cyclone about it, wasn't it? People were very tense and unhappy with it. But I don't know, if they're both happy, if they're just doing something stupid in their own home, I don't think there's an issue with it. People got very sort of sexist about it. And
well, I think he's a very public figure.
Mm.
It's not a good representation, particularly when one woman's dying every week of domestic violence.
Yeah, but it's
and domestic violence has gone up. It's just not a good thing to go, hey, this is a funny way to treat women.
Oh, it's so clearly a joke, though. I don't think there's an issue with something like that.
Yeah,
I see both sides of the coin.
Oh, do you, Miss Adelaide lawyer?
Yeah, as soon as I saw it, I felt like, what are you doing? Like, why are you being such a dick? Like, that's how I felt.
I think that's probably what is the worst of it. It's just being a bit of a dick. But I'm not personally terribly offended by that.
No. I also wonder whether the reaction would have been different if everyone was distracted by footy and had other things to talk about.
Well, they wouldn't have done it.
I think if he was distracted by footy, he might have not done
true.
It.
True, but, you know, yeah. I feel like everything that's happened in footy, while there's been no footy, has been, you know, huge because we've got nothing else to talk about.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to these things and you tell me what percentage of footballers, male footballers, you think did these things during ISO. Played PlayStation.
90%.
Walked their dog.
100%.
Bought coffees.
At least Sean Higgins that we know
of. Yeah, and Jake Carlisle. What was the fourth one? Every time I ever read anything about what's everyone been up to, they keep saying the same things.
Or put a bit of stuff around the house.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, so who do we vote for best?
I vote Onions Brayshaw.
Onions Brayshaw.
best
by in ISO. A mile.
He inspired the other players. Great, yeah. Angus Brayshaw. And what about the worst?
Well, my favourite part about the worst is that Motti appears to have deleted the crows who broke the rules.
Yes.
And also the crow who drink drove. So my team are safe again.
No, yeah. Okay, so now they're back in.
They're back in.
Back in. So Adelaide
16 players breaking quarantine.
Not ideal.
You had a drink driver too, didn't you, Beck?
Yeah.
Well, I reckon... I mean,
one is more than enough.
Lockie Hunter surely has to.
I think he has to get it.
He has to.
Yeah.
It was spectacular.
Do you know the other...
I'm going to say, on a slightly serious note, though, the AFL announced today that they have started a partnership with Headspace, working with the young AFL and AFL players in talent pathways to help protect their well-being as they navigate through professional football. And I just thought that, you know, I wonder whether some of these things are these guys, you know, who've been stuck inside with nothing to do and don't know how to manage that. I think that mental health help is a really good thing.
So do I. That's brilliant. Yeah, it's a lot more open these days, isn't it? Players coming out and saying they need the help and, yeah, happy with that.
You're on Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9. We've got Fee here. Motti's in the studio with me. We're safely distanced apart. And Beck has really taken social distancing to a new level by being in another state from us.
Correct. I decided 1.5 metres wasn't enough. I needed 850 kilometres.
How have you gone? You've been staying with your folks. How's that all gone for 3 months?
Oh, you know, ups and downs, Motti, like everything in life.
Are you getting your clothes ironed? Have you reverted to being 16 again or anything?
Mate, I reckon I'm 14. I get dinner cooked, I get lunch, I get my clothes washed.
What about crafting? Wasn't Ann Dale doing some crafting or something?
Oh, we've been doing a lot of crafting. I've attempted crochet, I've done floral wreath making, I've recently taken up ceramic clay earrings.
Okay, so you're not 14, you're actually 84.
Actually, mum and dad live across the road from an old folks home, and there's ladies I wave to in the window every day when they're doing their crocheting. So, yes, perhaps I am 85.
Wow, you've got a life plan in front of you right there.
Did I tell you I had crochet bikinis as a five-year-old?
Wow.
No, but I could probably make you some now.
I want images of that.
Well, and they were orange. And you know where the... You know how you start crochet with a hole and then it goes around?
Oh, yeah. Gosh.
Guess where the hole was?
Too
even
much.
At four, I knew that wasn't five. I knew that wasn't right.
TMI. Speaking of which, maybe you could make that a photo, a cutout for the supporters. You know,
yes.
That's a good idea.
You can send your photo in, get a paper cutout, put it in the crowd of you when you were five.
In your orange crochet bikinis.
I don't know.
Bikinis.
God, it's so wrong.
That's not going to inspire the bombers, Moddy. I don't know what
I don't think it's going to inspire
I don't
maybe.
Think it should inspire the bombers. So what do you think about home ground advantage or not advantage?
I think there is a home ground advantage. I don't think necessarily it's associated with crowds. Do you?
I do.
I don't. I think it's the size of the oval. I think it's, you know, they know the wind and the angles and the... I think it exists whether there's a crowd or not.
I mean, those things would be factored in, but I also think, you know, there is an energy and it can be intimidating playing against an opposition crowd that it's silent when you get a goal and, you know,
certainly
the whole ground is cheering when the opposition gets a goal.
It equalises that for sure, but the teams that go up and play in the hub in Queensland will be interesting. Because, you know, another part of playing away is you're not in your own routine, your own home, you're in a bed, you're in a hotel, all of those things. So those teams that have to play up there for four weeks plus, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch my team, the Gold Coast Adelaide Crows.
Well, yeah, and what do we think about the floating fixture?
I think we have no choice, do we?
Every 4 to 6 weeks.
Oh,
it's
I quite like it, actually.
Yeah, Breeze has been pumping that for years.
Well, none of us can go, so it doesn't matter. It's not as if we're going, oh, hang on, they didn't give us enough warning to...
I can't. I've got an expensive flight to Adelaide now.
I've got a wedding on that weekend. No, they didn't. It was none of that.
Yeah, true.
Oh, one thing I loved, which we must draw to everyone's attention, is that they're still doing the Freeze MND on Monday. For motor neurone disease. It's not... Remember, they usually do that at the Queen's Birthday game. So on Monday the 8th of June, they're doing a special event that will telecast by Channel 7, and all 18 clubs will have a player sliding into the bath. So you can still donate online.
Wonderful. And that was our community notice board. Thanks very much, Moddy. Next week, we'll actually have games to talk about. No, we won't. We'll still
be... Yes, we will. No, because we'll be previewing
them.
They'll be right
up our door.
We'll still be... We'll all be getting 4 points at that point.
Well, no, it starts on Thursday night next week.
I know, but that's what I mean. We're still hopeful.
Oh, we're still hopeful.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
All right,
well, thanks for listening to Chicks Talking Footy. We'll be back next week and for the rest of the season, however long that goes for. We're a floating fixture as well. But you can also follow us on the socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. We'll see you next week on the airwaves.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Footy, footy.